Hi, everybody. Welcome to No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, basically, we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Kat, and... Oh, shit. I didn't think of something.
This part always comes for us.
I know. I'm Kat, and I left my frenemies back in high school.
I'm Brendan, and I keep my friends close and my frenemies closer.
I'm Alex, and I have no frenemies or friends.
Oh!
But no enemies either, so, you know, it works out.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Or lose win.
Yeah.
I'm Pippin, and I maintain that I am not a writer.
We'll see about that.
Whatever.
Today we're talking about and taking apart the summary for a book Pippin's been working on, presumably, called My Best Frenemy. If you want specific content warnings, check out the show notes on nostoryissacred.com. But the summary provided to us is, this is a middle grade novel featuring a young girl. She's had a best friend since kindergarten. She thinks that their relationship is great. They both idolize some famous guy. Then she goes on vacation and meets their idol. Her friend starts getting weird about it, like she doesn't deserve to meet their idol. Over the course of her vacation, she becomes true friends with her idol and realizes how mean her friend is.
Hmm. Yay! Yeah.
There we are.
Okay.
So
I would like to point out, first of all, that when Kat provided a summary, it was pages long.
Shut your mouth.
It was like, what, 10 pages?
Listen, I provide a summary, and it's a couple sentences.
It was under 1,500 words, and I stick by that.
1,500 words is a flash fiction story.
I did not come here to stand accused. I
and
came
yet, here we
to
are.
Have a good time, and I honestly
feel
so attacked right now.
So, Pip, tell us, where did this story come from? What's the history? What made you think about why? Just why?
Just why? Well, I have a
explain
lot of feelings.
Explain yourself.
So this one time, I am with a group of friends at Viable Paradise, the writer's workshop that I staff at. And I'm talking with some other staff members, and there's a YA editor there, a middle grade editor. I knew someone who was a big fan of one of the writers teaching at the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And by, I knew her. We were sort of friends.
One might say frenemies.
I'm getting to it.
Sorry.
So I mentioned how she was a big fan of one of the other, writers. And how I wasn't going to do anything about it because, you know, she was awful. And one of the other staff members, said, oh, is she your best frenemy? Someone else said, my best, or is she your frenemy? Someone else said, my best frenemy. I did not say either of those things. The YA editor turns to me. and goes, I expect that novel from you. And I was like, wait, I didn't say the fucking thing.
This is not what I agreed to.
And she's all like, nope, you're doing it now.
So Pip, let's get this straight. You actively have a working YA editor asking for your work. Is that correct?
I suppose technically.
So, if we get you to write this book, I'm thinking that maybe this one won't immediately go for sale randomly through Amazon.com.
I mean, if I wrote anything, it's not going immediately through to Amazon.com.
Wow.
It'd be going through numerous revisions, and honestly, the editing process is quite important. We love you, editors.
Numerous revisions, and I am submitting that shit for publication at reputable markets.
Aw, we should have a whole mini episode about how to do that.
Oh, yeah.
that being said, though.
Unsolicited manuscripts are great. What are you talking about?
It depends on your publisher.
True.
Tor Books, for instance, take stuff over the transom. They're one of the few big publishers who do without needing an agent.
The Slush Pile.
The Slush Pile, which I have read. And
survived.
And survived. And you know what? It was an important learning experience.
I think that's a discussion for another time, because the Slush Pile is hilarious.
The Slush Pile is the best thing ever.
Oh, that's a future episode there. Tales from the Slush Pile.
Oh, Lord. So anyway, though. Okay, so yes. Pip, you have this story. So,
yeah.
So that's the beginning. Now, what drew you to this particular summary?
It was what I could remember of what I was thinking of it. Because at one point I was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crap. Possibly Ooh. Even objectively so. And then my laptop crashed.
Oh,
no.
Horrifically.
Wait, is that the laptop that was with me?
Yeah, this is a laptop that died the week before I interviewed for my current job.
Nice.
And I learned an important lesson about off-site backups.
Save early, save often.
Yeah.
Something that for even the writers among us to remember.
Yeah, and if my laptop crashed, and it wasn't for a few weeks until Ashley, our transcriptionist, and my actual best friend, not frenemy.
Shout out to Ashley.
Yeah. Said to me, but wait, what happened to my best frenemy? And I was all like, oh no.
It shall be mourned. Yes. But now, like a phoenix, it's rising.
Yes.
More all right. beautiful and more grand.
So tell me, when you say some sort of famous guy, describe more for me your idea behind that. Basically, I'm trying to ask all these questions so that we have a bit of a firmer hold as to sort of how to discuss this.
Or until I decide to toss that out the window with my suggestions.
Ooh, take your time now, Pip.
Well, originally, when it was first talked about, it was, you know, a writer type. But that doesn't exactly have mass appeal. Wolf, fan over writers, but, you know, middle school, high school girls probably aren't.
Hey, they're getting well-read nowadays, I'll have you know.
Sure.
I think the big one that everybody would be like, oh, you got to meet J.K. Rowling, but maybe not as exciting as you got to meet Harry Potter. Like,
yeah.
I think also the idea was someone of similar age. So then it could also be sort of a romance thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in a chaste middle school way, again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they held hands. They held hands the entire night.
What? They held hands so hard!
I don't know, that seems a bit risky for middle grade.
And they drank from the same malt. They drank from the same malt all night.
Sweetheart sipping.
Yeah. Sweetheart sipping, nice.
That's what we call a callback.
Link in the transcript.
I know when I was originally trying to actually write the thing, there was a boy band involved.
Of course there was.
Called Portmanteau.
Nice.
And that's awesome. I worked really hard to find names that I could smush together to make Portmanteau.
Portland. Like, yeah. Something.
And now I can't remember any of the names, but whatever.
That's okay.
So they're not at a Portland young man troupe? Portmanteau.
So, yeah, actually, Pep, truth be told, in my notes as I was kind of, you know, scrambling to make notes for this episode, yeah, the first thought that came to mind with an idol was, you know, a singer idol type. So,
same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, now I worry that it's too obvious.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm concerned about.
It's okay if it's an obvious thing, because you know what? That's approachable. It's understandable by a middle school audience. Because I think one of the things you were qualifying was that we're targeting middle schoolers, right?
It's a middle grade novel.
So we can't go too subtle or weird with it, because, I mean, we want this to be, you know, kind of easily digestible. most middle schoolers will understand, you know, idols, they're a big deal.
Well, I also don't want to do them any discredit because they're smart kids. And also, that I don't want the editor to hear this and get mad at me.
No.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yes.
What if it was like a cute kid from a local commercial? Like somebody who's just starting to make good. Somebody that's almost approachable to their level.
Not local, because she has to travel to see him, because otherwise, why haven't they met yet?
Oh, okay. Well, just going to point this out. Other towns are larger than ours and have more than one school.
But there's still the sort of... and then she could run into her friend or talk to her later. And part of it is the distance between them.
Okay. The space between.
Yeah. That allows her to have the space to actually evaluate their relationship and go, oh, this is toxic as shit.
Why middle grade?
Why not?
Fair enough. Okay. Is it because you're writing to your audience or because you think that that's what the story should be?
Because the editor said that sounds like a middle grade novel.
Fair enough.
You know, listen to the signs as they're given, you know? Also, that means they're probably looking for stuff like that.
Yeah.
One of the other secrets to getting published, huh? Write what the publisher is looking for. Hey.
And they'll tell you. They'll be very upfront. Like, sometimes you can surprise them with, like, hey, I don't hate this werewolf vampire zombie...
Comedy.
Yeah, I mean... We've read it 8 times before, but yours is somehow amazing.
I like that you had a question mark at the end there. It's like, yours is amazing?
I think that's the term.
Well, I mean, that's why you see things like, this usually doesn't work for us, but you never know, maybe it would. However, if they say things like, don't send us, you know, horrific violence, we're not going to publish it, then don't do that.
Don't do that.
And if they say, we're really looking for clown stories, well, then maybe your clown story has a shot.
Yeah.
Though maybe you should consider, do you want to publish with someone who's looking for clown stories?
Well, are they paying Pip?
At what cost?
Oh, no, 20 cents per word?
Oh, we wish it was 20 cents per word.
Yeah.
Well, it's clown stories.
I'm just saying, guys, clown romance is going to be the next hot property.
Dare you $1 billion to write it.
They rub their red noses together.
Ew, no, I can't.
They pied each other in the face.
My, your shoes are big. What else is?
Sensually putting on one another's makeup.
Flowers squirted in their face.
The makeup smudging as they rub their mouths together.
How many could they fit in that small car?
Clown orgies? No.
Oh, God.
And then he brought out the seltzer water.
You guys, just the faint squeaking of a rubber nose in the distance.
Oh, squeaky, squeaky.
Honk, honk.
Listening audience, I apologize profusely for the mental imagery that we have just painted for you tonight.
Sorry.
Now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Your middle grade novel.
And if you want to submit your clown story, you do it. And there are some stories are sacred.
No, heck, you know what? If you have a summary for a clown story that you want us to talk about, by God, submit it to us. And I'm going to say right now, I guarantee we will talk about it.
Why do you have to make these promises?
Look, because I love our listeners and I believe in them, and any bad choices that they make, I am here to support.
So we have to support your bad choices?
Yes. That's what it means to be siblings, Pip. Mm.
So anyway,
back on track.
Back to the frenemy here.
Yeah.
You mean Pippi?
What?
No. So, yeah, we kind of went over how the story was, like, conceptualized, right? And,
yeah.
You know, we have the broad strokes, so... Are we ready to go into what, I guess the three of us, you know, excluding Pip, because, whatever. She can go last and kind of absorb all the sage wisdom that will be pouring forth from our words here.
Here's how I figure it'll go. You guys will try to fix my story. And then I will tell you how you're wrong.
Okay.
Seems legit.
That works too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever, I love and support you.
No. Mm-hmm. So who wants to go first?
Cat does.
Yeah, Cat does.
What?
Not a nice feeling, is it?
Yeah.
Damn it.
See that bus?
You're fucking driving it. All right. Give me a second here.
You know what I love? I love how I'm not going to have to take notes about this or anything.
You're not going to take notes? How dare you?
That's cheating.
Nope. This is amazing.
Darn it. Okay. So it's middle grade, so you can actually probably get away with the not romantic angle and have everybody be girls.
Woo!
And that makes a nice parallel between her relationship with this famous girl and her relationship with this terrible girl.
Can she still hold hands with the famous girl?
Obviously.
Awesome.
Like, I'm sorry, can they not? They could also, like, share lip balm. I'm down with this.
Yes!
That's a sacred bond.
You damn right it is. I don't share my lip balm with just anybody.
I really don't.
Ew. Ew.
That's deep shit, man. Okay. I'm not sure I love the idea of a musician, largely because I myself am not particularly attached to musicians, which is a bit weird, but there it is. I'm much more inclined to go the famous actor route. That has its own problems, obviously, like all the issues involving actors and child actors and stuff like that, which is why I was heading towards the more local small fame. To that end, let's say main character goes on vacation. We have the beginning set up with, you know, her talking to her friend, her friend being generally shitty about the fact that she's going on vacation and, you know, making her make, you know, terrible promises. You know, you have to write, you have to promise not to have fun, blah, 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 blah.
All those things that sound super cute, but when you think about it, really aren't.
The phrasing is just a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Yes. Our main character goes on vacation. And while she is on vacation, she comes across first the trappings of this minor celebrity. So a commercial or a parade float that they're at the head of. Maybe they're busy playing Alice in Wonderland at Disney World. I don't know. I think they're all adult actors there, but whatever.
Yes.
You know, something along those lines. And then she has occasion to meet that person in real life. Now, I realize that this causes a problem with your the frenemy back home is jealous of having met this person. But I'm not sure you need that angle. It may be rooted in reality, but frankly, you could bring it back home. When you bring it back home, there could be an aspect of, you know, showing the frenemy like, oh, yeah, no, and, you know, this is who I met on vacation. Here's the commercial or whatever. And then the frenemy being, you know, getting on that level, you know, her feeling of insecurity and then needing to lash out at the main character. And then you have that sort of dipping back into that relationship and feeling shitty about it. And then the minor celebrity or whatever moves to your hometown.
What?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
And, you know, maybe they've been writing or something like that, or I don't know. The point is, suddenly they've started
following
school
each other
there
on Twitter. What?
Yes. Yes. Modern day, man. And so now our main character has this issue where she is either, you know, having to remain faithful to this shitty relationship she has, or take a chance on this newer one.
Take a chance, so you take get a chance, take a
chance, chance.
So you get the trappings of a romantic relationship, which is really just a relationship, but you're still getting to talk about that. And, you know, that's part of the thing that, for me, anyway, is an issue with writing for kids, is, you know, part of what you're doing is sort of laying out a guideline, like a map to these things. Like maybe
how to be a proper adult 101.
You know, or even this is how you recognize shitty stuff. This is a good way to get yourself out of it.
Well, wasn't that the case with like a lot of like your classic kid stories? At the end of the day, the lessons were like, hey, don't go trusting strangers indiscriminately. Don't go doing this.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yes.
Well, I mean, but if you think of things like Beverly Cleary's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Or even, you know, earlier stuff like the Ramona books. You know, those are all little, they're all classics, and they're also ways of dealing with the world as a kid.
I just want to take a moment and say that Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret is by Judy Blume, and I have yeah, no okay. clue who you said.
Beverly Cleary. Maybe she's Ramona. Damn it. Okay, whatever. Judy Blume, Beverly Cleary. It's all fine. That's sort of where I see that. You know, I don't want to pen you in too much with a plot. I personally like the idea of going away and coming back, not making them too high up, but enough to incite the jealousy. And of course, you know, because that's a fun thing to fantasize about as a kid. As an adult.
Yeah.
Me and Chris Evans, we're best friends.
I was going to say Chris Evans, too.
Don't you want to be best friends with Chris Evans?
I do.
I basically just want to buy him a coffee and hope that he does well with his day. That's what I want to do.
I want to pet his dog. I bet it would take very little prompting for him to show you pictures of his dog.
Oh, easy.
I honestly would probably want to play with his dog more than him. I'm sorry.
Well, hey, I have a dog. So frankly, that means that he and I can be dog park bros. It'll be great.
Oh my God.
I love Benji, but I think Chris Evans' dog could kick Benji's ass.
Oh,
no.
Dog fight. Dog. Wait, no, that's wrong.
That's an actual.
Shit. That's not what I meant at all, but it sounded really bad.
Dog personality fight.
Oh, no, it's not getting better.
No.
So anyway, yeah, that's where I am on that one.
Okay.
The end.
I do like the idea of her leaving and then coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And having most of the action still in her hometown. I do like that.
Thank you.
How big a hometown are we thinking here? Like, not like Forks, Washington.
Not our hometown. Maybe
Manchester?
Manchester did come to mind. Maybe something more like Portland, Maine.
Ah.
What about like Newton, Massachusetts? You know, Newton. Suburb of a big city. Still connected to it.
That works.
Or like, I don't know how familiar you are with Philadelphia, but I went to college in one of the small towns that technically is a suburb of it, but there's no break between every town. It's just more town that eventually leads into the city.
Yeah.
You can ride the train to the city. How about that?
Yeah. But yeah, maybe a town that doesn't have the major public transit, but does have a commuter rail.
Yes.
You can hop on the train, and a few hours later, you're in the big city.
Yeah.
Not a few hours, but yeah.
About an hour and a half, says the guy who takes the train into the city.
It's set in Worcester.
Oh, my God. Set in Worcester.
Worcester.
Or maybe somewhere in Jersey. So the idol moves to New York, and suddenly New Jersey Transit.
You can get real close real quick.
Oh, and you know what? That's a nice thing, because then it's the main character dividing her time up between being in her hometown with this shitty frenemy and joining her new friend in the city. You know, so she's got that travel time. She has to balance her resources. Is it better to remain friends with the easier option? And is the easier option actually easier?
Yeah. As Dumbledore says, sometimes you have to choose between what is right and what is easy.
Yes.
I think that's Yoda also said something similar.
I'm saying it right here, right now. Dumbledore is Yoda.
Dumbledore ex Yoda. Dumbledore slash Yoda.
What?
Dumbledore or Yoda fic.
Nope.
Yeah. Go do it. Nope. Do it. You have to write
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
You have to write it. Kat, you have to write it.
Like hell I do.
Pip, you have to write it.
I wasn't paying attention to what you said.
Well, I kind of like the Yoda slash Dumbledore bit, Al.
Thank you. I need some bits in here.
All right, so Jersey, splitting the time up,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to figure out which relationship
is better.
Better, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm still rooting for a small time starting up celeb.
Okay. Do you have anything else, Kat, or?
That's it for now. I plan to enjoy knocking down the rest of y'all.
But I think we can circle back and go through our individual notes here as we converse more.
Sure.
You're really proud of how you're saying sure, huh?
Sure I am.
Anyway, who's next?
Bren
is allowed to talk for like 5 minutes.
Bren is. Bren.
Oh.
Wait, did you say I'm not allowed to talk for 5 minutes? Fuck you.
Yes, because of how you were saying sure.
You're in the box. Okay.
Penalty.
So here are some of the notes I was going. Like you guys said, my initial thoughts were kind of along the musician side of things, is because that's, to me, the most approachable.
But YouTube star.
That's actually what I was about to say, Pippin.
Goddamn.
Sorry. Because that is the modern kind of equivalent of a small-time star and, you know, would also be somebody who has a pretty decent following, a couple million subscribers. Sure, a small-town person would probably follow that. Yeah, of course. And would also explain why, you know, our main character here could realistically, you know, actually approach them because, by and large, not going to be, you know, some super exclusive celebrity. It's just, yeah, YouTube personality.
Oh, my God.
But the other thing I was thinking was, like, the way they introduced the meet cute, which I don't think was mentioned earlier, because I kind of like the meet cute or whatever. While the details are up to Pippin to write, I just want to have the celebrity here in this case kind of be completely unrecognizable when off camera. So, like, on camera persona, like, the hair is all gelled up or whatever, that kind of nonsense, maybe even like some dye or something like that, you know, something for the camera, you know, so that way, like, when you're like in person at, say, like your local library or something like that, because hey, why not make our main character, you know, a avid reader or something, huh?
Are you
libraries did feature when I was trying to write it.
Are you suggesting, Bren, Jem?
No,
because she's outrageous.
No.
Truly.
That's what happens when...
Outrageous.
Ugh, that's what happens when a studio mindset really tries to be like, oh, how can we appeal to the millennials? No, I mean, they tried without understanding what the appeal of the culture was and then not really understanding anything about, I guess, YouTube fame? Question mark?
Yeah, that was a hilarious...
Hilariously bad movie.
We're talking about Jem and the Holograms, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I hear the original comic, I think, show. Is really
cartoon.
Good. Cartoon. Yeah. It's good, but the movie just did not get it.
The movie sucked rocks.
So I'm just imagining how incredibly joyful it would be to meet in real life. Who's that wonderful Viner who would... He'd do songs, he'd do like...
Tom Sanders?
Yes! Wait, what's his first name again?
Thomas Sanders.
Thomas
Sanders. Can you imagine meeting Thomas Sanders in real life randomly? But he made, like, he was very popular. He showed up on TV, on, like, the Today Show and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that was my initial thought with the idol character, you know, just something a bit more approachable, a bit more in tune with
today's millennial crowds.
Important.
Yeah, and then you could watch a whole bunch of YouTube videos and not feel guilty about it because you're doing market research.
I love it when it can do that and call it work.
Yep.
And then we can call it work, too. We can just send you cat videos and be like, you should reference this.
Yeah.
Do it.
Here's a Vine compilation.
Yes.
Okay. As far as the idol's concerned, I was just kind of making notes that really make sure to paint them as, you know, a normal person, because I think that's something about our culture that tends to blow things a little out of proportion nowadays, is just this kind of elevation that happens, which in turn, for me at least, kind of plays into, I guess I want to try and comment on maybe like one of the themes of the story, because, you know, we have to have subtext and all that stuff, right? Right?
Subtext. Who needs it?
Oh, God.
Sorry, she's having war flashbacks.
Today's theme is themes.
One of the themes I was kind of thinking might be fun to play with is just that kind of almost darker side of fan culture, the kind of possessiveness aspect of it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the frenemy can totally play into that.
That is exactly what I was talking about, because one thing we have not talked about much is the characterization of the frenemy. And that's kind of one thing I want to try and steer into now with our conversation is just talking about that character.
Do it.
As far as, you know, I only have like a little bit of notes here because, you know, writing, whatever. I want that character to kind of be that darker aspect of, I guess, that fandom culture where, well, I was a fan of this first. I have possession of that.
Yeah. Mm. You didn't even know about him until I told you.
Precisely.
Oh, yeah.
So how dare you get into this culture, get into this, you know, universe that I've elevated up and became friends with them, started dating them, what?
What?
And maybe the ultimate, like, climax or the thing that triggers the climax of the book is just, or movie or show or whatever, the main character ends up in one of the videos. Yeah.
Yeah. Following up on that.
Uh-huh.
You know, in terms of poisonous shit that the frenemy can say,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, there's a lot of fear to be had in oneself with regard to why am I friends with someone?
Mm.
And so if the frenemy wants to really score some points, something she could say is, you know, you're only friends with them because they're famous and they're only friends and they're not really friends with you. They're just being kind to a fan.
It makes me feel icky just thinking about it.
I know.
That is something this frenemy character would say.
It's totally what she would say. The downside to writing this is that you're going to have to put yourself in a pretty shitty place in terms of writing these kind of fights. They're poisonous fights. But on the other hand, that's also the secret sauce.
So, Anna, you have some, you know, writing experience. What would you give for advice for, like, kind of tapping into that without necessarily succumbing to it? Like the compartmentalization or whatever? I don't know if I'm asking a weird question.
So. No, it's a good question. Unfortunately, there's a certain aspect of it where, you know, you do succumb to it. You know, how do you write the murderer? Well, you think to yourself, if I were this person, how would I murder it? You know, fortunately, you're not that person, but mm-hmm. part of it is getting into yourself. I always say that writing is auto-cannibalism. You use pieces of yourself to write. And so, you know, how was I able to pull that, you know, shitty comment out of my hat? Well, if I was a shitty person, that's what I would say. And or perhaps shitty people have said something like that to me and I'm regurgitating it.
Mm. Writing is therapy in that case.
Yeah. But the trick is to not be afraid. Don't shy away from it. It's terrible and it's awful. But when you're in it, own it. And then
when you're done, you can watch cat videos.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or Ooh. You can send off what you've just written to a friend and torture them for a while.
Aww.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. Whatever you have to do to sort of get yourself out of it again. This is one of the other upsides of having a
co-writer? Editor?
Both. But actually, I was thinking more along the lines of a structured writing time.
Ah, yes.
Or at least a structured writing process. Because then you know how to get yourself into it and then how to pull yourself back out again. Which is, you know, it's a little strange to think about, but, you know, you want to prep yourself and then.
Before you wreck yourself?
Yes. And then, you know, afterwards, then you're done. You know how to calm down. You know that there is an exit in sight. I don't know. This seems like it's much more traumatic than it is. But
I almost think part of the process for this, if I were writing it, would be to, like, watch Mean Girls just before writing the frenemy character every single time.
See, the problem with doing that
is that you end up writing Mean Girls.
Which is not necessarily a problem. Nah. One must always be careful about engaging in rituals.
Oh, yeah.
I know I just said, you know, prepare and stuff like that. But, you know, one must always be wary of the desire to, I'll just have this one snort of cocaine before I start writing.
To Got really a big get, extreme there.
Yeah, look.
Just a tad.
Look, man.
You could have gone cigarette, shot of whiskey.
Yeah, don't let your vices get in the way. No.
Exactly.
Well, no, you don't need to. Don't tie your writing in with your vice, because then when you try to kick your vice, you find out that you can't write anymore.
Whoops.
That. You done, Bryn?
Ooh, what?
That was a weird segue.
I know. I got nothing.
I was also just trying to think of just conflict in the story.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I was trying to think, like, could it be, like, Misery for Kids at the end?
Oh, my God.
What?
Well, no, not as violent, but, you know, are you guys familiar with the story of Misery?
I am.
King novel?
But perhaps you can describe it further.
Oh, God, it's been years. Basically,
Stephen King.
A fan. Yeah, it's a Stephen King novel in which a fan kidnaps an author to, I guess, think write a story specifically for her.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I know this one.
Yeah, terrible things happen.
A writer, much like the guy who wrote Sherlock Holmes, is really, really tired of writing this particular character named Misery. And he's killed her off in his final novel. This final novel, he has decided to drop off in person at his editor's place of business, which naturally necessitates, I don't know, driving there or something like that. A storm happens, he crashes, and who should pick him up but his biggest fan ever.
Ever.
Who goes ahead and reads this manuscript, discovers he was about to kill her off, and does not take the news well.
Long story short, there's ankles that get broken. It's not a fun time for the author.
I hate when that happens.
And it happens so very often.
More often than you think. The reason why I was kind of mentioning that tie-in and, you know, Misery for Kids is just that tie-in to the toxic fan culture aspect, the bizarre ownership. I'm just thinking that the frenemy character tries to interject herself into the idol's life and goes horribly awry, but also maybe causes a huge misunderstanding between our main character and the idol, and then we have our kind of quasi-romantic climax in which they reconcile and move on and become better people, and who knows, maybe the frenemy character can become a better person at the end as well.
Maybe. How much do you care about resurrecting the frenemy?
Resurrecting? What do you mean?
I don't mean resurrecting. Redeeming. I mean redeeming. Thank you.
I like the concept of, you know, at least at the end of the novel, that there's the hint that this person, with some effort, could grow. Because that's the thing. We're all talking about, like, relatively young people, right?
Yeah.
So like, I guess.
People aren't total irredeemable sacks at that point. They should potentially just have like a hint that they could, you know, maybe start self-reflecting.
Sure, but at no point should the hero feel obligated to.
No.
Even just to forgive.
No, definitely not. Like, it's just the point being like, you know, you should go off and do your own thing for a while. I'm going to go off. Maybe you can find peace or whatever in your own time. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I'd like to poke a little bit further back into what you just said, Bren. About the conflict.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. It would appear that the conflict at first glance is, of course, everybody's relationships. Because that is a conflict. So I'd like to instead bring up this fabulous concept that I first read about when I was reading about screenplays. It was way back on the Wordplay website or Wordplayer by the guys who wrote like the Pirates of the Caribbean script and a whole bunch of other stuff. And they had this wonderful essay called The Task. Basically, you make up a task that the characters have to accomplish. This isn't the theme. This isn't the, you know, relationships. It's just a random ass task that they somehow have to do. As an example, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, my favorite go-to explanation. The task that they have to complete is, oh, they have to get these three fucking, you know, microchips into these three separate planes. Why? No fucking good reason. It's the task. So from there, you sort of drape it on there. And, you know, do we call it the MacGuffin? Sure, whatever. Once you start looking for the task in stories, you start seeing it and you start understanding, you know, its purpose there. You know, in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, the task is getting the Holy Grail. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
I think that's the perk of like adventure stories in general is the task. Yeah, pretty obvious. It's right there.
So the question is, can a task be applied to this? Forget their relationship. One might say that the relationship in that is the actual story. However, you got to lay that on some framework. So what is the task?
You're really bringing me to task here. So let's see.
We can make Pip answer it.
to get through summer.
Okay.
Well, that could be the main character. Yeah, just make through the summer, have a good time, have a good summer, right?
Yeah.
Now, whereas the frenemy maybe had the original goal of have a better summer. That's why she's a toxic person.
Yeah.
You could also have the idol person is in New York. They have just gotten an agent and they're trying to land and complete their first deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They might have a shot at Broadway.
Or something. Or a television pilot, or who knows.
Or the Yuck Yuck Club, who knows.
Yeah. They've got a whole separate motivation, and maybe our main character wants to help them with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe our main character has, you know, exactly $50 given to her by her parents specifically for travel, and by God, she's going to use it. I don't know. She's going to use it all up.
On the metro?
Shut up. So, or maybe she's trying to buy a car for, you know, and trying to earn money to buy a car. You know, one of those weird things.
Oh, is she working in the city? Like, you know, like a part, well, I guess, you know, as a teenager.
Not even a teenager. Remember, this is middle grade. Oh, shit. This is middle grade. She can't really take the train by herself, can she?
Yeah, well, things you can skew up the age of the characters a little bit if you're targeting middle grade.
You give it 2 years. For kids, you go up 2 years from whatever their reading age is.
Ah, neat.
10-year-olds want to read about 12-year-olds. 8-year-olds want to read about 10-year-olds. That's the way that works.
Ah.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
FYI.
So we've been talking about my stuff for a little bit too long here. Hey, Al.
Yeah?
Hey, Al.
Your turn.
What up, bro?
What do you got? What do you got?
Let's see. What do I have? What? How can I stall? So, first off, my version of this idol character is just public access TV kid.
Like Sesame Street?
Like Chris Gethard?
No, like the like local old TV station.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You know, they've got whatever they do there. Painting, clay making, this weird storybook hour.
Hey, weird storybook hour is the best.
Right?
So public access radio or TV personality kid. Cool.
Yeah, and, you know, they're also doing the, hey, maybe gonna get famous soon deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like movie role?
Like, not movie role, like, I don't know, auditioning for a recurring character in a TV show, like a Boy Meets World kind of a ripoff show.
Boy Meets Ripoff.
Or Boy Meets Globe.
Boy Meets Globe.
Boy Meets Ghouls.
Different show.
Boy Meets Ghoul. No, so not like super famous. And so
okay.
A lot more in, at least in my mind, approachable.
Mm.
I think for the main character, she's starting to realize that, hey, I'm not happy for some reason, but not quite figuring it out that it's, hey, maybe it's that best friend of yours that's kind of doing that.
Because how could it be? She's her best friend.
Yeah.
She's told me so.
She cares.
But, hey, she has written on her notebook, her task for the summer is to get happy.
Aww. I like that.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And then here you goes kill
Alex
cats.
Teaching us about how to, you know, improve our lives.
Aww. Whatever.
And, you know, this isn't really off to a great start this summer. I mean, her best friend kind of bails on that. So how is she going to do this now? I mean, without her best friend. Sarcasm.
Like, were they going on vacation together somewhere? Like, were they going to be going together up until the best friend, quote unquote, like, canceled at last minute to go, like, to Beaverbrook Falls without her? I don't know.
Oh, my God. Maybe she ditched her.
Yeah.
Maybe frenemy ditched her. Mm-hmm. And then main character ended up having a more magical time because she met this famous person.
Yeah.
And then frenemy was like, you know, it hits all the jealousy notes.
Oh, yes.
And all the hypocrisy notes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very important part of it.
Well, I still think that can tie into the task I was assigning her before of I want to have a better time than main character. Is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
No, and your friend me was like, okay, this summer we're going to be doing these things. Make sure you do that. I'll be holding you to that. And then ditches.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's something a friend me would do.
Yep.
You know, and basically what you guys were saying about, you know, learning that, hey, that frenemy is a frenemy.
Yeah.
That frenemy's terrible. But man, oh man. So Al, do you have any other thoughts going on with this frenemy character or the idol as, I guess, a public TV star?
Yeah. For the frenemy, actually, I would, like, reading the description, I was kind of, like, reminded of the best friend from the Princess Diaries books. Do you remember her, Pip?
Oh, yeah. Lily?
Yeah.
I've only seen the movie.
Yeah, except Lily, you know, gets her head out of her ass and admits, oh, yeah, I was jealous because you're a princess now. but I'm going to try to be a better friend to you. But what I'm also thinking is that there needs to be at least some good times between the hero and the frenemy. Because otherwise it veers into, well, why is she friends with them in the first place?
Oh my god, why?
There has to be some sort of conflict on why she wouldn't just dump that friend.
Well, I think you could set up like the first third or so of the novel with the frenemy, you know, more or less being an okay friend, like slipping up every once in a while, like being a no-show or something like that. Maybe the worst thing that happened was just like having to cancel, quote unquote, at last minute on this vacation thing that they were supposed to do together to the big city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we could, if you just wanted to really cement in that this frenemy was a terrible person later on, then the reveal could be, oh, she wasn't canceling because of like a doctor's visit or some other emergency. She was going to a, I don't know, concert, something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically ditched her friend to go hang out with what she thought would be like the cooler group or something, you know, trying to just boost herself up.
That's also happened to me before.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
Oh,
man.
Oh, my God. You guys are having like flashbacks over there.
Well,
yay, trauma.
Grade school is the worst.
Right?
Yeah.
So here's my thing. I think that it is entirely possible for people to be evil shitheads and do nice things.
Oh, yeah. I think it ties into why they're doing the nice things that makes them, you know, kind of evil shitheads all along, right?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Sometimes people are just shitty people, but they're still people. People are a mix of good and bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People are weird.
People are weird.
Yes, they are.
In the book that I co-wrote, we actually had the task of writing a shitty person. And the trick was trying to figure out how to write a shitty person who, nonetheless, the main character was devoted to trying to find or save or something like that. And it came down to what in the world of this shitty person is something that they would do that produces a positive result regardless of their intentions. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
I think so.
Like maybe they're helping, maybe they're holding back your hair while you puke because they don't want to get shit on their shoes. But at the same time,
they're there. Except hopefully not for the middle schoolers.
Here's hoping not the middle schoolers. That's a different kind of story.
No.
Presumably. So it's a trick. I think because based on what you were saying earlier, you already have this sort of a character in mind. I think that'll be a little bit easier for you than necessarily making it out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
You know why you stuck with it.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
That sounded like an awesome sigh, by the way.
And that's one of those things where, like, take your experience, relive it, and, you know, show what it's like for the reader so that maybe they cannot get stuck with that.
Yeah.
Or they can figure out how to get out of it.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, Pip.
Yeah.
I think you've heard all of us now.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? What are you leaning towards? And do you have any questions for us?
So, we have the hero, we have the frenemy, we have the idol. What are the parents doing in all of this?
It's a good question.
Being in the background.
Are you going to kill off all the parents? That's a popular choice.
Probably wrong for this story, though.
They're all Charlie Brown parents who are just going like, womp, 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 womp.
You know, that's a good question. And that's actually one of the, from what I understand, one of the perennial questions of YA and middle grade and so forth is, what do you do with the extraneous parents?
think that's kind of why you have, like, single parents so often, is that you reduce the amount of familial interaction.
Yeah. So, okay, parents, they have their own tasks. Clearly, our idol person is under the age of 18. She's got parents who are busy managing her career.
Right.
They are part of the decision. Maybe they're putting undue pressure on her. Maybe that's part of her story. Maybe that's why she's finding it good to sort of escape into this friendship with someone who's not part of this whole thing.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe that's a point of argument later when, you know, our main character has the doubts in her head from Frenemy about why this person's friends with her. Maybe that comes up in an argument. The penultimate argument.
Mm. So, like, the argument just before the climax or something?
Yes.
Okay. I think now's as good a time as any. What are your thoughts after we've kind of gone on and on discussing this?
Pick your poison.
Mm.
What calls to you?
Well, the sea.
It calls to us all, Pip.
Yes. Your cell phone, I'm presuming.
I did get a phone call during the podcast and I did not pick up.
Good.
Thank you.
Mostly because I didn't recognize the number.
Fair.
Yeah.
It was me.
It was probably the police. Eastman's Fund.
Whoop, whoop. It's the sons of police.
So the aspects you liked.
I like a sort of suburban area with a transit. So there's a split of location as well as a split in relationship. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense either, but whatever.
No, it's good.
Thank you. I like the idea of a YouTube or Vine star.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's clearly on the way up.
Nice.
You're a Darren Criss, if you will.
Aww.
Oh my god. Darren Criss.
Yeah, I like all that. Oh gosh. See, this is why I should have taken notes while we were talking. Oh,
way
how
to
I
go.
I got complacent. I like
big butts.
And I cannot lie.
Sorry.
I like the idol's parents being sort of controlling, so that gives her another reason other than the fact that she likes the hero to want to be a part of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I like Alex's task of to get happy.
I love that. That's so... And I think so that the twee. I think the fact that we were all like, yeah, it's a good sign.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I just had this flash. Can you imagine if, every chapter started with, like, something from her diary, like, number one, pick a flower?
Items from that to-do list, I think, would be kind of good little chapter heads. So, like, it'd be like, go watch a movie, go to a concert, get your first kiss. Aww.
Aww. I actually really like that because I often find that putting in an artificial structure that maybe the audience doesn't know I'm using as a structure is really super useful. I wrote a story once where I'm like, okay, like whatever happens in the story, I'm just going to make sure that I have an italicized list in every section.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And that was my secret. Like if there was no italicized list, I'm like, I got to rewrite the scene so that that makes sense as having one. And I'm pretty sure nobody else noticed that that's what I was doing, but it gave me a framework to work with. So Pip, if you write like a list of things that your average middle schooler and or you would want to do to get happy over the course of a summer, and then you could just make that as sort of your secret frame for your story.
Huh.
You know, and if worse comes to worse, like fucking switch them around. Who cares? But like, and that can be like your mini task for every chapter.
You can actually bond the idol and the main character together.
Mm.
They both have the same kind of list.
Aww. Or the idol isn't happy, doesn't know why, and the main character shares this idea.
Ah. Huh.
I wish one of our pets had just gone, at that moment. That would have been perfect. I think it's a really neat idea.
Mm.
And very approachable. And also, frankly, a good trick to have. You should have a list that are, you know, of things that make you happy, regardless.
Yeah.
Sometimes things are shit. You should come up with a list of things that just make you happy no matter what. Watching Vine videos makes me happy no matter what.
Oh, that can be the first thing on her list, and that's how we first get introduced to the idea of the idol.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. What if she's watching videos like in the living room or whatever, and like parent A wanders past and is like, oh, it's Darren. And she's like, I'm sorry, you know this person? It's like, yeah.
You know, wanders away again.
Wanders away. Well, it's like that. There's a Tumblr post about some kid who was going to her dentist. And like, what are you doing later today? She's like, oh, I'm going to go see Captain America. And the dentist's like, huh, my son's in that movie. And then the kid's like, wait a sec, Dr. Evans. His kid's not in the movie. His kid is the movie. And that's how she found out that her dentist was Captain America's dad. It's like nice. That. You know, this sort of like, huh, oh, neat. Look, it's Rachel. I'm like, what? You mean you know her? La, 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 la. I'm going to go make a sandwich. You want anything?
Well, the one thing I worry about that is just, I think I'd have that after the initial meet cute, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Because I want to have that be the initial, like, punch, you know?
Yeah.
Fair point. Just fair my point. Thought. All right, Pip. So, question time. You want to write this? You feeling it?
I refuse to answer that question.
Oh, come on. You make me answer that fucking question. Are you excited? Do you have a bit more of an idea of maybe where to go with this?
I mean, now I have an actual framework, so that's exciting.
You're welcome.
As opposed to writing and seeing what happens, which is not a great way to do it.
I envy the people who can do that.
Yeah, it doesn't work well.
I've met people who can, and I'm convinced that they are not quite there.
True.
Listeners, yeah. If you are the kind of person who can do it by the seat of your pants, God bless, and may we all be so lucky in our dotage.
Gosh, I think it was something in reference to like George R. R. Martin talking about like the two different kinds of writers, like
pantsers and plotters.
Yeah, or gardeners or something like that. Yeah,
gardeners is involved. I remember that metaphor. Mm. Well, I don't remember that metaphor, but I remember him talking about it.
I don't think that there's anything inherently better or more natural or more useful, one or the other. I just think it's important to know what your own capabilities are.
Yeah.
And I know that as fun as it is for me to, I can do by the seat of my pants for approximately 14 pages.
Yep.
At the 14 page mark, I'm fucked. 14 yeah. pages or 6,000 words. One or the other, however that works out.
Yeah, it's same here.
I got to 100 pages once. Once. Yeah. It was, and then I got bored. I found the analogy here. Okay. The architect or the gardener?
The architect or and the one I know is the pantser or the plotter. Plying by the seat of your pants or plotting along.
It amounts to the same it's difference, the same really. Yeah.
Basically, however you write is how you write.
And that's right for you. But
Wow.
That's our smarmiest sticker. No.
Look forward to it on our Redbubble page, whatever that it is.
Our store.
Redbubble. Do we want to try in a game here, guys?
I would love a game.
Do you have any in mind, Kat? Because I keep on trying to call these games, and frankly, I'm taking a breather tonight. You know what? Pip.
What?
Yeah, Pip.
Yeah, it's your turn.
This is your story.
Oh.
Pick one.
I would suggest not the title game. You've already got a really good title.
Yeah.
The title is what got me into this mess.
Mm-hmm.
You can try and do the evil overlord generator or something.
Oh, my God. On the fly plot changes.
What?
On the fly plot changes. Do an evil overlord generator or pop in a trope and then we have to fit it into your story somehow.
Yeah, that's do the evil overlord generator.
Nice. Do we have a better name for that?
It's called, what is it called? Oh, no, it's just Evil Overlord Generator.
All right. So, Pip, so you're saying, let's try Evil Overlord Generator. I think you need to do the honors, my love.
All right, let me pull up the Evil Overlord Generator.
Or tropes, whatever your plot shenanigans of choice.
All right. Advice for the Evil Overlord. I will make it clear that I do know the meaning of the word mercy. I simply choose not to show them any.
Ooh. All right.
Okay.
All right. So mercy, Pip.
I think at the climax of the story, when the frenemy does something really awful, that's when she knows that she's doing something awful and does it anyway.
Ooh.
Like before, she was just being sort of thoughtlessly awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very self-serving and self-obsessed, I guess I'm going to go with. Not actively trying to hurt the hero because she wasn't really thinking about her at all, which is a different kind of terrible. But at the climax, she's like, I know what a good person, a good friend would do, and I'm not going to do it because I'm mad. Like, the hero gets like an invitation to a party or something that the idol is throwing, and the frenemy steals it. Knows she's doing wrong. And maybe somehow tries to explain it to the hero of why she's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And is generally awful.
Cool.
And it can be the final
countdown.
Yes. All right. So that's me.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Oh no. What do you have? What do you have?
Well, so my go-to generator of choice is the Stith-Thompson Motif Index of Folk Literature.
Nerd.
Shut your face. It's amazing. And that quantifies tropes of fairy tales and folklore and ballads and stuff like that to its tiniest little particles. Absolutely love it. Downside. I have now been given the trope, disenchantment by eating apple.
Huh.
Yep. And apparently that's from an Irish myth, and it can be cross in its original, like, originally noticed form. Disenchantment by eating apple. All right, so that brings us magic. That brings us a Snow White parallel. That brings us Evil Mother, called Evil Mother the frenemy, the jealousy aspect of who's the fairest of them all. The seven dwarfs represent the friend. So we have the frenemy driving the main character away into the friendship of the idol person, who are the seven dwarfs. And back in the hometown, frenemy is making life really hard, really terrible, causing a disaster campaign. However, through our main character's friendship with the popular person and learning about how friendship does not have to blow and stuff like that, comes back triumphant and defeats the frenemy in terms of like maybe a big speech in the cafeteria. At which point she triumphantly bites an apple.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
See, I was thinking something a lot simpler.
What?
I was thinking something a lot simpler.
Okay.
The hero recognizes a casual act of kindness because the idol remembered that she likes warm apple cider.
Aww. Well, who doesn't like warm apple cider? I mean, come on.
Well. And because she doesn't like it, she would never get it for her friend.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
I'd like to thank everybody for watching me valiantly pull that out of my ass. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to thank everybody for watching me just
completely undercut it. Thanks. Yep.
You're welcome. So. Sorry.
Okay. So I went to TV tropes, as I am wont to do. And I, as my first pick here, found Building of Adventure, which is kind of your typical, almost magical building where, you know, the majority of the story takes place. Think Hogwarts. So like rooms are all very different from each other.
So it's a location thing.
Yes, it's a location. And so the thought that came in my mind, if we don't want to steer into any kind of fantasy trope or anything like that, is instead one of the main sets, one of the main locations we kind of have a lot of interaction between our main character and the idol. You know, this person's like a Vine or YouTube star or celebrity, whatever. They're at the set. So like where all these various things are or filmed or whatever. And so, yeah, different sets all seem like, you know, kind of this building of adventure, right? So like we have the set where the sports where the stunt action takes place. We have the gameplay room and stuff like that. So it's like almost very whimsical but like it's all set up for kind of capturing these various short videos. So yeah, building of adventure.
I like it.
Can I actually jump off of that? Do you guys remember the show Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Of course.
Yes.
Blue Barracudas for life.
Yeah.
The second you said that, building an adventure, I started playing, and wouldn't it be cool if main character and frenemy were a team who have made it onto a show like Legends of the Hidden Temple? And then the idol person is, say, a kid version of the host.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Or, alternatively, the reigning champion. One of the reigning champion team. It sort of, it takes away, like, the moving to a different town, but by God, it adds a lot of adrenaline. Well,
it does slightly make the action-adventure climax much more interesting as they're, you know, all trying to storm the Astro Crag.
Yeah. And it's got the high drama of, and high tension. It doesn't take that long. You know, I mean, but, like, the story is compressed into a short amount of space, at most a week.
Yeah.
And then also, frankly, you can ditch the parents. Yeah, they don't have to have nearly as big a role. They've brought you there. Congratulations. Now you're all in the hotel.
Yeah.
You're all staying at the same hotel or whatever. The host, you know, is running around and maybe you get to see them. I don't know. I kind of like opposing teams.
So yeah, that was Building of Adventure.
All right. So, are you guys familiar with fanfic plot generators?
Yeah. No.
Well, no. Of the concept, but not particular ones.
There's the Sailor Moon crossover generator.
Oh, no.
I'm already in love with this.
Right?
Okay. Go on.
So, I got, first part, in these crossovers, an opening song is far more important than the plot, and Sappy Unknown Unsung from the 50s.
Okay.
Oh, cool, yeah, cool.
Yep. And for a pretense, Tuxedo Mask is dead and needs a replacement.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Doesn't that happen in Sailor Moon, though?
All the time.
I think so.
All right, fella. Now apply that.
Okay. Like, there are several other parts, but that will take too long. So, Sappy song from the 1950s. Do you guys have any?
Oh, no, no. Ow. This is all on you.
Ah,
oh,
shit.
However, I will throw in, why does this have to be a modern story?
Ooh, suddenly, are we going to have that malt shop?
Oh my God.
Mr. Sandman, do, 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 do.
Right, so it's not an unknown song, but it is to our audience.
There you go. So keep going, keep going.
And Tuxedo Mask is dead, needs a replacement.
Okay, make it work.
Our main character has gotten the magical warrior call, and it's in a tuxedo with a top hat, a cane, and a mask. And she saves a day without doing anything.
Well, that's typical Tuxedo Mask for you.
Wait. Presumably we can't just straight up have Tuxedo Mask.
Presumably.
So how would you apply the trope thereof?
Okay. Masquerade.
Paper faces on display.
Really, Pip? You're going to do that?
Yeah, I went there.
You're going to do that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Masquerade. I like the idea. Keep going. Ooh, meet cute.
Yeah, that's why I'm...
I want you to know that the number one single in 1956 was Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel.
Ooh. Like it.
So.
She plays it over and over again.
So they have the... They're me cute. She's in a tuxedo with a mask.
Dude.
I like how unsubtle it is.
Like, okay, how do you approach this person without being creepy? You can't.
Okay.
She's doing, she's filming a Sailor Moon themed Vine when they meet.
In the 1950s.
Oh my God. All right.
No, I ditched the 1950s angle.
What about, okay, so on the one hand, there's the masquerade thing. Cool. There's also superheroes. Tuxedo Mask is a hero of some variety, correct? I don't watch anime.
He's there. He's there for moral support.
Okay. So we're going to say he's a superhero. So, okay, what if the idol is a superhero?
Yeah.
What if it's Spider-Man? Like, you fucking find out Peter Parker is.
There we go.
Oh, my God. It is Spider-Man, actually. Like, what if you're, like, Peter Parker's best friend and you suddenly find out it's Spider-Man or whatever?
Doesn't that happen in Homecoming?
Yes, it does. It's amazing.
I haven't watched Homecoming yet.
What?
What?
I've watched that
Listen,
movie.
Listen, I came out here...
And I don't watch movies, Pip.
I came out here to have a good time.
So, okay. All right.
So, I think that's as a different take.
I like how Alex is just like, we're going all in. Fuck it. Boom.
There were like six more parts to that.
Oh, no, my God.
Because Sailor Moon is extra.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between a plot. Plot generators typically have more than one trope floating around. Technically, Pip used the Evil Overlord generator. I believe she had, like, what, six different things in there?
Oh, yeah.
And my favorite generator has the AU set, the alternate universe setting, the pairing, a quote to use. Like, it's crazy.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just hit the random button.
My favorite fanfic generator has this. I randomly went through a book. Thank you.
Ha. Okay.
But yeah, there's lots of options. Fuck it. Pip, do you like any of them?
Of the stuff we just talked about?
The four presented, yeah.
And or does any of it supersede what we've spoken of previously?
In a...
Totally
useless in a mask.
Well, there is now going to be some vague Sailor Moon reference. even if she just has a compact mirror or something.
Fair enough. Beautiful.
My job here is done now. But you didn't do anything.
I like the idea of a random act of kindness. Really sort of tipping the scale. Mm. A casual act of kindness.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, Brent, I don't remember what you said.
The studio.
Oh, that's right. That was amazing. Yeah, no, that totally. Listen, I have no memory, and as I established earlier, I'm not taking notes.
I think we've learned an important lesson for future episodes.
Take notes.
Take notes.
Listen, you guys can do that. I am living a free life.
You're living your best life.
I'm a rebel. Sansa cause.
Santa Claus.
But now you have a book to write.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
Yep.
Ha ha.
Whatever.
Hey, Pip. Happy NaNoWriMo.
This comes out towards the end of November, so fuck you.
Damn. But we're recording it before November, so I challenge you. I'm throwing my glove down.
Nope.
Bam. There it is.
Nuh-uh.
I'll beat you.
You can pick that up.
I will beat you.
Fine. Beat someone who's not competing. See how that victory feels.
Oh, you know what? It'll feel delicious. It'll feel wonderful. Because I'll know I'm better.
All right. When you're crying at 3 a.m. because you haven't met your food count.
I hate it when they fight.
I'm sleeping.
Okay. Anyway. It's about that time, he said, segueing.
It is. It is.
As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostoryissacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostoryissacred or send an email through contact@nostoryissacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex McDonald, Brendan McDonald, Pippin McDonald, and Catherine Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. That's me. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostoryissacred.com. And thanks for listening, everyone. Please rate, review, and subscribe to No Story is Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and net great rewards at patreon.com/nostoryissacred. Tune in next time when we delve into a new listener submission, Zack Snyder's classic masterpiece film.
Sure.
Batman v Superman, Dawn Batman. Of Justice.
Batman v Superman.
it's a legal film, I think.
Sounds lewd.
Also.
Sounds a bit rude, doesn't it?
Also, it's National Novel Writing Month. And you can follow along on Twitter as Kat tries to write the book from episode 5, Greetings, Valentine.
Tries being the key word there.
Until then, where no story is sacred and any story can be changed. This is Brendan.
This is Kat.
This is Pippin.
And this is Alex.
And we're...
No story is sacred.